Welcome to another Ford Performance edition of the Mustang Owners Podcast. I'm John Clore, Enthusiast Communications Manager for Ford Performance, along with my co-host, Mike Ray, President of the Mustang Owners Club of Southeastern Michigan and the International Council of Mustang Clubs. And we've got another special episode for you tonight to discuss. Are you ready? A little known but rather amazing piece of Mustang history. And Mike, information about these cars isn't what we'd call common Mustang knowledge, is it?
No, and I think the viewers are going to learn a lot tonight.
Absolutely. So that's why we're here, and hopefully you'll learn a little bit about what people call the Skyway Mustangs. So we're bringing in our favorite expert and former owner of a Skyway Mustang, Gary Schweitzer of now Traverse City, Michigan. Gary, welcome to the Mustang Owners Podcast.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be here.
Gary, a lot of people, when they hear the word Skyway Mustangs, they have no idea what the heck we're talking about. Even when we say the Magic Skyway Mustangs, and they haven't a clue of what these cars are, but this does date back all the way to 1964 when the Mustang was introduced at the New York's World's Fair in Flushing Meadows, New York, and was part of a wonderful ride, I believe, put together by Disney called the Magic Skyway, and Mustangs became a part of it.
There were a lot of Ford products. 64, there are 178 Ford cars on the Magic Skyway that summer of 64. And early in 64, like around January, Ford kind of realized our new baby is coming out. We have to get some Mustangs to the fair. So a lot of Mustang enthusiasts are familiar with the 5C date code production. Those were the first 180 pre-production cars that were run. And the Skyway Mustangs are the very earliest of those, starting with VIN number 3, was the first Skyway Mustang, all the way up to 1000014. Wow. Was the final Skyway Mustang for that first year. So they're the very first Mustangs built and serialized and available, were sent to New York from Dearborn.
Well, and to get them on the ride, of course, they didn't want the engines in them and all that extra weight. So somebody had to modify these cars, pull the motors out, put them and mount them onto the track, and get them included in the rides. But that took a little bit of work. And who in the world would have ever guessed that one, Mustang became such a phenomenon that during the Magic Skyway ride, people would, Mike, I heard that they would skip the Galaxies or the Fairlanes or the whatever else was out there, the T-Bird, and wait till the Mustang came around because they wanted to ride in that new car that Lee Iacocca just talked about.
Oh, I bet. And Gary, correct me if I'm wrong, but they were all convertibles, weren't they?
They were convertibles. But I have to correct one little story that's been floating around forever about the engines being removed. The smaller cars, the Mustangs, the Falcons, they had the engines. They stayed in the cars when they made this platen system that was devised by Disney to move these cars. Mm-hmm. They had motorized wheels set in the track, if you want to call it the track, the floor of the display. And the cars had a plywood platen, heavy-duty plywood mounted to the bottoms of the cars. So the wheels coming up from the floor would contact the plywood on the bottoms of the cars and roll them along. In order to keep the weight distribution as equal as they possibly could, to keep the load amperage on the motors as even as they could, the lighter cars kept their engines to give them more weight. And the heavier cars, the Lincolns and the heavier cars, the engines were actually removed. Yeah. In an attempt to equal out the weight a little bit. So that's one thing that was that's been out there. And I've got pictures of a Falcon with the engine still in it on the Skyway.
Well, of course you do, because that's why I called you the Skyway expert, Gary.
In the Galaxies, I've got pictures of them with the engine still in them. So that's
I got a call from one of the clubs. I can't remember, Mike. It may have been a Fairlane guys who said, hey, we heard that we were supposed to take all those spots and then – they pulled some of our cars out from the Magic Skyway ride because, as Gary said, Mustang's coming out. And they said, well, you got to get these up there because this is going to be a big announcement. And they claimed that Mustang bumped a lot of other new Fords. As everybody knows, all the Fords were new for 1965. And they weren't very happy about that. But I got to ask you, Gary. That means that day when that Skyway ride started, people were getting rides in Mustangs before they even saw one in a dealership.
They were opened in April of 64, so it would have been a very much at the same time kind of a situation. having been building them since March 9th, they would have been out in the dealers probably, you know, a week or two after that, I would imagine.
Yeah.
But they, in 64, we're talking for sure. Definitely. Yeah.
So yeah. That to me is, I mean, Mike, can you imagine doing something that cool now where, you know, Ford marketing was tied together with the PR team and the brand team and the production team and the people in manufacturing all working together. What a cool thing to ride in a new Mustang, have that experience at the World's Fair, then seeing him on the street, you know, the very next month. It's just outstanding marketing. And whose idea was this?
Just put it out there. Lee Iacocca, I think, had the whole plan from top to bottom, is my understanding, to get this thing out there. And Ford had all those cars, and they just had to get those Mustangs in there for sure. But they only had 12, which is interesting. They wanted to keep a blend of some of the bigger cars, too, to get more people through there quicker. Because sure. It was so busy. You know, the Mustang would hold 4, but you could jam 6 in there if you wanted to, I suppose.
Yeah. Like the how many times, Mike, have you been asked to provide a Mustang convertible, a classic, for a prom car, and you wind up having 5 kids sitting on the boot waving?
Yep.
In the parade, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Gary, we wanted to pick your brain on a couple of things. Number one, sure. Rumors, the Magic Skyway ride, that this was very popular. You know, Disney was involved. I mean, what a mechanical wonder. One of the most popular attractions at the New York World's Fair. And obviously, Mustang was super popular. But from what we heard, and this may have been just people talking about, you know, their experiences there, that these cars were so interesting that people actually skipped riding in the other cars to jump in the Mustang. And then secondly, that Ford had to get involved with the Mustangs because people were wearing them out, taking off knobs off the dashboards, you know, anything they could take as a souvenir of the Mustang, and just completely, because getting in and out of these rides all day and all, you know, months on end with all those people in and out, they were having to replace parts. Is that true?
That still happens today, John.
Even beyond that, they had their own body shop right on site, because in the early stages of this thing being developed, they had collisions, the car, the spacing, the timing. Bob Gurr may have mentioned that at some point when you talked to him. The cars would run into each other because they didn't have the timing quite right. And they had these override bumpers that they finally developed. We'll see some pictures of these things.
Wow.
Like bumper car, kind of big chrome bumpers on them. But to answer your question, they had a body shop on site where each evening they would go through and replace a lot of the trim from the inside that people would take home with them, do minor repairs, body work, repaint things, whatever. So I'm kind of guessing these cars were pretty rough by the time that the middle of the summer came along, and even more so by the end of the season, obviously. So yeah, lots of parts. In fact, I've got some internal Ford memos that I stumbled across in my research. And they were kind of concerned about, this is costing a lot of money to keep this stuff going. You know, did we do the right thing? Kind of making reading between the lines of what they were saying to each other at Ford at the time.
Yeah.
This was a huge expense that they weren't quite, you know, thinking was going to be that bad.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, was there, Mike, I blame them because it was their fault for making Mustang so popular.
All the cars, right.
Well, the other part that, you know, a lot of people don't understand or realize is, how in the heck did somebody say, you know what, we're running 24/7, 365 building Mustangs out of 3 plants as fast as we can, selling a million of them in 18 months. Someone at some point decided, well, these cars, after the World's Fair is over, we're going to take them off the ride, ship them back to Dearborn and run them down the assembly line and sell them, Gary?
They What they did, the first, it's interesting, the first season cars were all the 260 V8s. Second season cars were all the six-cylinder 200s because I guess they wanted to sell all the V8s they possibly could at the time. So when the cars went back to Dearborn, they went back to a place actually in Inkster called Karen and Company who did the work for Ford. And the original conversion work, just to kind of condense it, was to take the gas tanks out of them so there'd be a fire, you know, marshal in New York, no gas tanks allowed. Mm-hmm. They put a radio playback device tape recorder type thing in the trunk over a plywood panel to replace the gas tank and some kind of a generator system like you would have on your old style bike to run your headlight to run off the rear wheel in the right rear to have power to run the electronics as it's rolling. And you could have the language of the narration in four different languages as you're going through there on the specialized radio that they had. So they had a lot of stuff that was obviously quite unique to what they were trying to accomplish. But to get back to your question about selling these cars when they came back, yeah, they came back to Karen and Company. Every one of them got invoices for all of them and the work that they had redone, repainting, refurbishing, you know, putting gas tanks. And I've got pictures inside the Karen building of stacks of engines from the bigger cars, exhaust systems, all labeled. In fact, the gas tank from one of the cars, I've had two Skyway Mustangs that I've owned, but the one had a gas tank in it, different VIN number. They marked them all with the VIN number, and the gas tank in my car was from a different car, so they put it in the wrong one. And then they refurbished some new interior, new paint, whatever they had to do. Mechanically, they had, you know, the engines were never used, obviously, so mechanically they were fine, but just cosmetically they were a mess. And so they ran through the whole process of cleaning them up. Sold them on the Ford B lot, which is the employee lot, if you're not familiar, which you are, obviously, some people maybe not. And they sold them as used cars. And I also, in my research, came across lots and lots and lots of letters from people that were at the World's Fair. Hey, I want to buy the Mustang. I sat in their red one. It was great. When you're done, I'd like to buy that car. And the standard answer that everybody got back was they're going to be sold to Ford employees off the B lot in Dearborn. Thank you for your interest. We appreciate blah, blah, blah kind of thing. So they were Ford employees that bought these cars. And the one car, the one that I had the longest, my dad worked at Chrysler at the time and he had a mutual friend who worked at Ford. And they were at a Detroit Red Wings hockey game at the Olympia Stadium and went to the Detroit Athletic Club for dinner afterwards or before. And they talked cars because that's what you do when you're in Detroit, you know, kind of thing. And so they got together and long story short, he had this car for sale that he had bought off the Ford B lot for his wife for a Christmas present in December of 65. And he realized that it was a Skyway Mustang. So he kind of flagged it. And he knew somebody over at Karen and Company when they were rebuilding it. And they just happened to put a 66 AM 8-track radio in it, kind of upgraded it, put a bench seat in it, which it didn't have from the factory.
Wow.
And put 66 hubcaps on it, which, you know, when I restored the car, people are saying, well, those are the wrong hubcaps. Well, MCA rule says as sold to the original owner. So that's how it was sold to the original owners. You see the car with 66 hubcaps on it. It's documented. That's how it came. So that's what I did when I restored it. So,
you know, Mike, this is kind of like what you experienced with the PP units. Remember we did bullets and then the pre-production units we thought were going to get crushed and they decided to run them back down and take off the prototype parts. And you must have been dealing in PP cars all the time with Shelby's and Bosses. It's kind of like the same thing.
Yeah. And you know what? So my experience too, like at Bear Jackson's when I was with Roush during the time, Bear Jackson's, SEMA, you know, people would be able to get in the cars and sit in them. And we had shifter balls missing, radio knobs missing, all kinds of stuff that people were still taking out. And we had to replace it before the next day. I remember getting these stuff overnighted to us just so we could replace the part that people stole while they were sitting in it.
So very similar. Very similar. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. My brother, bless his heart, he's passed away now, but he came home from Cobo Hall at the Detroit Auto Show with stuff that probably belonged on a car.
Yeah,
I didn't do that. I want everyone to know out there, Mike, I was not doing that. Gary, it was not me.
No, I... That's funny.
All right, so, but I think, Mike, I think the biggest question everybody who's listening tonight about the Magic Skyway Mustangs is going to ask Gary, how did you... as a young person or as a first early owner, how did you get involved with wanting one and then buying one and then owning one? What was the impetus behind you getting so deep into the Skyway Mustangs?
Well, it started just with Mustangs in general. Having gone to high school in the, you know, mid to late 70s, and I would buy Mustang. You could buy them all day long for $150 back in 77, 78, 79. Of course, in Michigan, they were kind of rusty, but you could buy them all day long, convertibles for $200.
Yeah.
So I had a little side hustle going in high school. I'd be buying and selling Mustangs for $150 and selling for $300, you know, 2 weeks later kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it goes back to the story of my dad knowing this guy at Ford. And we went and looked at this car probably a month after they were at that hockey game. And it was in a garage in Harper Woods, Michigan, off of 8 Mile. And it had been there for a couple of years, actually, at that point, because they bought a new Maverick, of all things, when the Mustang was retired.
Oh, man.
And the funny thing is, the guy's mom had it, and she would drive it a mile back and forth to work at Eastland Shopping Mall.
Oh, yeah.
From Harper Woods, and it had the original tires from 1965, 35,000 miles, and the tires were literally bald, and she was still driving it. So the point of what I'm trying to say here is, you know, so we stumbled across this car just by pure chance, and he told us it was on the Magic Skyway. I had never heard of it. I was only 4 years old at the time when the thing all happened. But my mom and dad had been to the World's Fair, but having been a Chrysler guy at the time, he went to the Chrysler exhibit.
Sure.
So he didn't know much about it either. So we bought it, right, then $1,200, maybe $1,300. Back in the day of $200 Mustangs, this was like a lot.
Yeah.
But it was the best one I'd ever seen. And at the time, being, you know, a 13-year-old car, it's, you know, kind of new, but not really kind of thing. So I don't know if there is an answer to your question. I'm just kind of going here, but
there's no real answer.
I just have loved Mustangs forever, and this just kind of came along, so we bought it, you know, kind of thing.
What a cool car. Well, just and another piece of trivia, Mike, because I know you're the West Sider. One of my first jobs, you know, I was working as a mechanic at a Sunoco station up on Gratiot, just south of 8 Mile, and then working with my brother-in-law, who was a Detroit fireman and shade tree mechanic. And then I got a job at Starkey East Ford as a stripe installer, which because I actually could line things up by eye, and worked there for a while. And when I really wanted to make more money, my third job was I sold women's shoes at Baker's Shoes at Eastland Center for one of my first full-time jobs. And I thought, Eastland Center, you know, that's not even there anymore now. It's now an Amazon fulfillment center.
I've been there a couple times in my life, believe it or not.
Yeah, Harper Woods is it's my home. So yeah, this is weird that Gary's car, I mean, he fished it out of Harper Woods, and you've owned it all those years. You did all that research. For those of you who are frequent visitors to FordPerformance.com, we ran a great piece. Gary, you put together a wonderful history, especially with that ownership. When you went to shows, you must have spent more time explaining than you did buying hot dogs and Pepsi.
Well, that's interesting, because most people have no clue what it is. They say there's the car with the wrong hubcaps on it, is what I heard more than anything. And I'm not kidding you. That was the big thing. Hey, buddy, you had the wrong hubcaps on there. I said, well, go read the little poster that I put on the window, because I was sick of telling the story all the time. And I guess, you know, the thing of it is, no one knows what it is or what the World's Fair was. As we all get older, the people that were there aren't really with us anymore. So the whole history of the thing fades further away.
Yeah.
And so, to be quite honest, not too many people even really know anything about it. So I had to do a lot of explaining multiple times, which is fine. I love talking about it. So I really toyed with the idea of putting the 65 hubcaps on it. I said, no, I can't do the wrong ones, just as a conversation piece, because that's the way it came.
So no, you did the right thing. And yeah. Mike and I were at a show once, and when some judge was looking at Mike, I think it was a 95 Cobra R, and he got the guy marked down because he didn't have an antenna and the radio was missing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This was a Cobra. Hey, where's your back seat?
Mm-hmm.
How many times have we heard that one, Mike? So Gary, then what happened, for those of you saying, well, what happened? Gary talked himself hoarse, lost his voice at so many car shows that he decided, you know what, it's time for someone else to try to take over ownership of this Skyway Mustang and put it back into the enthusiast world. So a couple years ago, Gary, you said, you know, it's time to let someone else enjoy it.
Yeah, I've had it for, you know, have had it for so over 40 years. And it was at the Gilmore Museum near Kalamazoo, Michigan, for a couple years on display after it was at the MCA show in New York. Mm-hmm. And then they wanted it out because they're rotating their inventory. It's like, I just don't need it anymore. I can't bring it home. I can't drive. It has the original windshield in it. How can I drive this car? You know?
Yeah.
So I took it to a Mecham auction in May of 22. It was trailered down there, and it was bought, and it is moving on. So I have not seen it in that time. So it's kind of a sad thing, but it had to happen. So I'm okay with that.
Now, and Mike, as we always talk about, when all the wonderful members of the Moxham Club and the people we meet all across the country, cars come and go. It's the friends you make in the hobby that really matter. And sometimes it's good just to try something else. And, you know, you run your time with it. And if you don't get to spend enough time doing what you want to do with that car, maybe it is better that it's time that goes into somebody else's hands.
Well, yeah, everybody gets to share a piece of that history then, you know what I mean? And make that a part of their life and journey.
And the car is safe. I couldn't keep it in my garage. I don't have any, climate control, but I know it's in a private collection where it's safe with a good spot. So we'll just leave
Gary, it. Was that at the Auburn Mecham?
Indy in May of 22.
Okay. Very cool.
Yep.
So this whole story was brought to me and my attention after meeting Gary and at that show up in New York. And this, ladies and gentlemen, will give you some inkling as to why it pays to once in a while go to your car show and bring your car. Don't just have the wife drop you off in the spectator section with your new Explorer, but to go ahead and bring your classic Mustang and show it and meet some people, because after meeting Gary, it came time to be able to tell the story. Gary, you were a celebrity for the longest time when your story appeared on FordPerformance.com, and now look at Mike and I are talking to you tonight on the Mustang Owners Podcast. How cool is that?
Well, I wanted to thank you guys. Can I say a couple of other thank yous as well, if I could do that? My sure. friend Kevin Karsh out in Oregon, he helped me with the research on this. And Jim Smart, Mustang knowledge guy extraordinaire, has helped me over the years as well. And Scott Halseth at NPD has also been awesome with this whole thing too. So and Joel Shooks also helped me with the paint job and the body work. So I just had to mention that. I appreciate the time.
Well, that was an exceptional car, exceptional story. Mike, I told you it's super cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I can't even begin to imagine how many people never even heard of these. So this was, I think, a very educational podcast and fun. And, you know, and it's exciting. And Google it, guys. If you haven't seen it, you know, look at the pictures, how cool it is. And how they went around, and there's pictures with the Mustangs on there. There's pictures of the entrance to the Magic Skyway. It's really, really cool, and I'm glad it's a part of our Mustang history.
Yeah, it's coming up on its 60th anniversary now, Gary. So again,
crazy, isn't it?
It is really crazy. So congratulations with that great story. Thank you for joining us, and I really appreciate your time.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, folks, that's a wrap for this edition of the Mustang Owners Podcast. But don't forget to check out the enthusiast section of FordPerformance.com this week, because everyone has a Mustang story, like Gary's. And if you haven't already done so, get your Mustang Club or Facebook group registered on FordPerformanceClubConnect.com. And all of your Mustangs registered on FordSpecialVehicleRegistry.com. You can also find out what Mike's Mega Club is up to by visiting Moxham.com. And as always, we welcome your comments and suggestions that you can email to us at clubhub@ford.com. So until next time, we'll be looking to catch you down the road.